Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court finally strikes down these nationwide injunctions. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Now, this particular case, Holly, is critically important. It's on the birthright citizenship issue. But the Supreme Court did not rule on that issue because the Trump administration asked the Supreme Court to rule on a different issue, and that is these judges issuing these nationwide injunctions. From my count, there's about 64 nationwide injunctions that have been issued against President Donald Trump since he took office on January 20. 92% of those have been from judges who are appointed or nominated by Democratic presidents. They have been judge shopping across the country, finding the most sympathetic judge, getting a plaintiff that likely oftentimes doesn't even have standing or doesn't have any connection at all with that particular venue where that judge is located, and then having the judge issue not just an injunction limited to the plaintiff in the case, but issuing a nationwide injunction and therefore controlling the entire federal policy on a wide variety of issues. The Supreme Court, thankfully, said no.
So, yeah, this Supreme Court in this case called Trump versus CASA, was the sole issue in this was whether the recent deluge of nationwide and universal injunctions are appropriate from a single district court judge. The High Court rightly says in this decision that universal injunctions are inappropriate and not part of the equity powers of a single district court judge. Of course, Justice Sotomayor issued a typical dissent on this issue.
Yeah, and Sotomayor was upset for this particular reason. She said that all of the lower courts have ruled against the Trump administration regarding the administration's interpretation of the birthright provision of the Constitution. And yet that was not the issue before the court. That's the case that actually brought the case to the court. But the Trump administration, when they asked the court to review the case, did not ask the court to review the birthright citizenship provision, but rather the broader issue that transcends birthright that the Trump administration has been dealing with since the inauguration day, and that is these judges issuing these nationwide injunctions. So Sotomayor's point was, people are going to think that the High Court ruled in favor of the Trump administration regarding its interpretation of the birthright citizenship. Of course, that's nonsense. People may think that, but that's not what the court should be looking at. The court should be looking at the narrow issue that it decides. And the question here is, do these judges have the authority to issue nationwide injunctions? And the court said no. The decision was written by Amy Coney Barrett, and she chastised Ketanji Brown and said that Ketanji Brown has a wide view of the judiciary. And while she is concerned about the supremacy of the executive branch, she said what she has done is made the judicial branch supreme. She said, quote, she offers a vision of the judicial role that would make even the most ardent defender of judicial supremacy blush. Barrett noted that her untethered colleague apparently believes both that the fundamental role of the courts is to order everyone, including the executive, to follow the law, full stop.
Yeah, she also suggested that Jackson either believes that universal injunctions are appropriate whenever a defendant is part of the executive branch, and that is a position that goes far beyond the mainstream defense of universal injunctions, or more extreme still, that the reasoning behind any court order demands universal adherence, at least where the executive is concerned.
So let me give you an example of how this works. And Justice Barrett rightly said, if you want to have an injunction that goes beyond the individual plaintiffs bringing the case in the court, then there are ways to do that. There's procedures to do that. Number one would be, for example, in the primary way, would be a class action lawsuit. So, for example, let's look at our litigation in the COVID case. We represented individuals from both the Marines and the Navy in our litigation in Tampa, Florida, regarding the COVID shot mandate. We got injunctions relating to those specific individuals. Remember the lieutenant colonel in the United States Marines, we got an injunction for her, the commander of the Navy warship. We got an injunction for him. Now, we had other plaintiffs in the case. That injunction didn't apply to them until we applied for an injunction as it relates to that particular person. We got injunctions for the individuals. Then what we did, as more and more people were needing injunctions, we moved for class certification. Class certification is a specifically strict process in which you have plaintiffs that represent the facts and the law applicable to all the other people that you are trying to represent that are not before the court. So you have to have similar law, similar facts, so that you don't have to individually prove each individual factual situation, but that the facts of your plaintiff are representative of the facts of all the other people in the universe, and that you can't bring in all the other people because it's too big. So that has to go through its own litigation, its own criteria to determine whether or not you met those burdens, and we did, and we got class certification. I can also tell you that once you get class certification, that itself can become a litigated issue in itself, and it can take years to go through the courts to determine whether or not you rightfully are entitled to class certification. That's one way. So take what happened in the, say, the deportation case where people were deported to El Salvador. Assume that you have one plaintiff. Say that you have hundreds of people that are deported to El Salvador. But within those hundreds of people that are deported and they're now in El Salvador, you have people that have committed murder, crimes, robbery, rape, did other kinds of crimes, people that have been here for a long period, short period, people that committed no crimes, lots of different fact patterns, right? Some people might have been deported and they didn't leave. Some people might have had a court hearing and they didn't show. There's lots of reasons for individuals to be deported. Now you find one particular person, and you say, well, this person we're going to represent. And so you get an injunction for that one person. But what these judges were doing is taking that one person and applying it to the entire group of people, and it's really impermissible, because then what they would say is not that you have to change your position on this one person, but that you can't deport any of these people, and in fact, you have to bring them all back. There's no class action. There couldn't be, because the different facts applies to them. And so what these judges were doing were issuing these, quote, nationwide injunctions that go far beyond the plaintiff and the facts or even the law that's currently before the court. And in doing so, they were tying the hands of the executive branch and actually micromanaging the executive branch and making the one single judge supreme, as though that person had total control over federal policy.
Which is not the way the founders established. They established the three branches of government to be equally and accountable to each other, but not one to overrule the other. And in this case, this was a 6-3 from the justices, with the typical three dissenting. So right there, that gives me a heads up where this is going with this case.
Yeah, and so the Justice Barrett said so many great things in the case. That she said, the bottom line, the universal injunction was conspicuously non-existent for most of our nation's history. She goes on to say, because the universal injunction lacks a historical pedigree, it falls outside the bounds of a federal court's equitable authority under the Judiciary Act. And it's a great decision, because the Supreme Court has in the past made statements frowning upon these nationwide injunctions, including Kagan and others have made comments regarding these nationwide injunctions. But finally, we now have a Supreme Court case directly on point. And this limits these judges from issuing these injunctions that go far beyond the plaintiff and the facts that are before that court to try to influence and control national policy. Frankly, it's dangerous for one judge to issue the kinds of injunctions against President Donald Trump that they were issuing, because some of those dealt with foreign policy.
And we saw that happening so often.
One after another after another, and they were judge shopping. And so now,
tying his hands.
No more. The Supreme Court said, no more. This exceeds judicial authority, and it's a great decision. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.